Doctor Show for natural, organic gardening advice. And now the Dirt Doctor, my dad, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome back, everybody. Telephone number to be on the show with me, if you care to do that, is 866-444-3478. I was going to continue the tree planting information real quickly, and then I've had a bunch of questions about bed preparation, and I haven't really covered it in detail for a while as far as what I recommend. There's a lot of interesting things that are recommended in other directions, so we'll go through that. But we'll go to the phones whenever you like. It's fun to do anytime as well. The finish on the tree planting is that there are still universities and so-called experts and people out there recommending some things that I don't recommend that are a waste of time, a waste of money, and in some cases cause a problem. Top of that list, and it's the only one that has a question mark about it, and that's staking the tree. Sometimes staking has to be done because the tree is too tall and whippy, or it's loose in the ball, which is a whole nother problem. It's really best not to have trees that are loose in the ball in the container, whether it's ball and burlap or in a pot, because that's a weakness that's sometimes hard to overcome. But in some situations where the heavy wind or in a really windy spot, and you know that that's going to be a situation you have to stake for a while, and the recommended way to stake, if you have to do it, is to use loose connections that still allow the tree to move some with the wind. That movement is important, and the reason it's important is that movement is what helps develop the tensile strength in the trunk and develop a diameter of the trunk both. If you put real rigid, tough connections to the tree, like a lot of people do, one, you're going to get some damage. Even if it doesn't cut into the tree trunk, which I see a lot, it's going to still just that hard pressure being there all the time actually crushes the cambium layer. And the tree may not die, but it's not going to grow very well because you've really done damage to a very important part of the tree, that cambium layer. So the number one thing to do, if you can, and that's what I do 99.9% of the time on any trees that I'm involved in with, we don't stake at all. We did a commercial project in Fort Worth some years ago, 40 acres. It was originally the Radio Shack project. It's now the one of the Fort Worth Community College campuses. But it was originally a Radio Shack. I was hired to be the arborist on the project and also write the organic specs for the project, especially for the tree planting. And we were working with a big national landscape architecture firm out of California, Sasaki. Well, it was SWA, actually. And they wanted to do their usual everything, of course, and the specs on the trees was something that they really had a big disagreement with me on, because I put in the specifications that I wrote that were going into the project that staking was not to be done. And they threw a fit about that and wanted to do it, and they also had some problems with some of the other things that I'll tell you about that I don't recommend also. But the main one was staking, and we finally came up with a compromise. The architects agreed with me that we would have in the specs, rather than saying each tree has to be staked and that to be a cost on every tree, in this case 400 trees planted on the project, we put in the specs that they were not to be staked, but if there was some unusual wind situation or it was agreed on by the architect and landscape architect and the owner to stake the tree, they would be staked on an individual basis as needed only. Of 400 trees, we never staked one of them, because the other thing we did when they came in we had in the specs to take the soil off the top of the ball and establish the flare and plant the tree at the proper height. Plus, we rejected some of the trees that had weak root balls. So the other thing that I don't recommend when you plant a tree is I don't recommend watering rings. And they were eliminated from this project and a lot of other projects as well. A lot of people think that that has to be done because they've seen other people do it. But it doesn't. It doesn't do anything. If you plant the tree properly and water it in properly, settling the soil with water, you don't need the rings. And the rings look bad. They're in the way from a maintenance standpoint. And most of the times, they're not eliminated when they should be later on. And they end up being this ugly bump that's a part of the earth going up to the tree. Wrapping the tree trunks is one of those things that's in the nitwit category. There are people that still recommend wrapping trunks, especially certain trees, red oaks and things like that, and they laughingly say that it's to prevent borers from attacking the tree. Well, it's been proven more than a lot of times that when you wrap paper, gauze, burlap, or whatever around a trunk, you actually create an environment for the borers to get started, for the other insects to get started. Plus, you keep the sunlight off the trunk. Now, a lot of the people that recommend that would say that they're recommending it to keep the trunk from sun scalding and leading to a problem. Well, if that is an issue, if the trees have been grown too close together and shaded and they've been planted in a different direction on the site and they start to get some burn, or you know they're going to get some burn, or you want to prevent it from having a chance of happening, I still don't recommend wrapping with paper or gauze or crepe or burlap or anything like that. What I recommend is painting the trunk with whitewash. Be like Tom Sawyer. You can use white. That's what the university research that we've got on DirtDoctor.com backs up using as beneficial for preventing sun scald and also for preventing some insect attacks as well, especially on fruit trees. But there's a whole nother thing to prevent problems on fruit trees we'll get into later if we have time. But painting the trunk of the tree with a diluted whitewash, a diluted latex paint. You can use white, or better still, what I use is a paint that matches the color of the trunk. Get a gray or a brown or something that when you paint it, you can't even tell there's any paint on there. It will protect the trunk, and the trunk as it grows in a healthy way, if you go this route, it'll just kick that paint off. You don't have to undo anything. It doesn't create a weak place like leaving a Band-Aid on your finger too long like wrappings do, and it's just a much better way to go. We've got a little bit more to do on that. We'll try to get back to that as quickly as we can, but let me get caught up a bit. Sissy in Dallas is next up. Hello, Sissy.
Hi there. I have a quick question, and I have always wondered, when all the oak trees, and this always happens every spring, when the oak trees tassel in the springtime, are they tassels or flowers? We always call them tassels.
Both. They're both.
And when they get through tasseling, all these little creepy-looking bugs are walking all over your car or falling out of the oak trees. It only happens with oak trees.
I've never seen any bugs associated with the flowers, but if they are you seeing any damage that they're doing to the leaves?
No. It's, I always wondered if they were going to turn into something like a locust or something.
No, I don't think there's anything to worry about at all. The insects that you'll see the most at this time of the year when the flowers of the oaks are falling and we're going through the emerging growth of the new leaves and everything, the insect I see the most is called giant bark aphids. And they're giant. They're, two, three times, they're more than that. They're maybe five times bigger than normal aphids that you see on new growth of plants that are in stress a little bit. But the giant bark aphids are usually just a few here and a few there, and not really all over the place and creating any damage to the trees. And I don't recommend worrying about them. I think they look like a big old aphid. They look they're about the size of lady beetles, lady bugs, but they're gray to dark to black almost. And they do.
He thinks they have the legs are in the back. There's no legs.
Okay, that's probably giant bark aphid that you're seeing. Look at my website. I'm going to have to run, but my website's got real good pictures of them, and okay. You can see if that's what you have, and I'll talk about them a little bit more when I come back, okay? I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I'll be back with you right after this.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics has a new look. Our bright green box is now bigger and features colorful fruits and vegetables to remind everyone of the healthy ingredients inside that are fermented for over 3 years, producing Dr. O'Hara's world-famous postbiotic metabolites. No other probiotic on the market today has our trademark postbiotics, which are the hallmark of restorative digestive well-being. A pioneer for over 30 years, Dr. O'Hara's probiotics understands that the rapidly growing probiotic market can be confusing. For this reason, we are proud to introduce another aspect on our new box, which features comprehensive and detailed product information. This will help you make an informed purchasing decision based on facts. Our box may be new, but inside is the same trusted probiotic formula that consumers worldwide have depended on for improved digestion for over 30 years, free of gluten, dairy, allergens, and GMOs. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at natural health retailers everywhere or on Amazon.com.
Ladybug, a new Earth natural product, provides high-quality compost, granular and liquid organic fertilizers, mulches, soil amendments, and nutrient-rich magic sand. All Ladybug products start with the finest all-natural raw materials and have dependable consistency. Ask for Ladybug at garden centers, farm stores, hardware stores, Whole Foods, and other quality retailers. To find a store and for more information, visit ladybugbrand.com.
Unibest International has a great new soil testing kit for home gardeners, agriculture and greenhouse producers, turf managers, and landscape contractors. Tests determine what fertilizer nutrients are needed and provide easy-to-understand fertilizer recommendations tailored to your site that will improve production and quality. For more information or to order your ready-to-use professional-grade soil test kit, call 877-535-2479 or go to unibestinc.com. That's 877-535-2479.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
Ah, the pursuit of anti-aging. We diet, exercise, use the latest moisturizers, but did you know that dietary supplements can make a huge difference too? Our body's master antioxidant, glutathione, plays a significant role in the anti-aging process by helping to keep our strands of DNA healthy. At the end of our DNA strands are telomeres, little caps that protect our DNA and chromosomes. Over time, these caps can become frayed and cell aging accelerates. Anti-aging studies suggest that by boosting our body's glutathione levels, we can reduce telomere shortening and help protect our DNA. But since our glutathione levels decrease as we age, we need some help. RegActive is a revolutionary and remarkable supplement that is transforming the future of anti-aging health and wellness. RegActive features ME3, which has over 20 years of research and is proven to naturally stimulate and produce glutathione in our body, helping to support our cellular and anti-aging health. RegActive is available on Amazon.com. That's REG apostrophe ACTIV.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
Trees become infested with insects and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and pathogens are just doing their jobs, trying to take out the unfit plants. Most plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water. Too much fertilizer, or the wrong kind of fertilizer. Toxic chemical pesticides, the compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting certain plant species, and creating monocultures. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in a stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insects and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically: 1. Stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic chemical pesticides. 2. Remove excess soil from the root flare. 3. Apply organic amendments. And 4. Spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice Monthly. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. Just real one real quick thing before we go back to the phone lines on finishing up on the tree thing. The last commonly done thing and recommended thing on tree planting that I do not recommend is thinning out the tree. When you thin out the tree, the first energy that's being used in the tree is going to be to grow back what you cut away. You'll hear people talk about cutting back fruit trees by 50% and pecan trees, and that's silly. You just plant them at the size they are when you get them, unless they're growing in a different character than you want. If you want to prune them so that they're growing out at fruit trees, for example, at a 45-degree angle, so it'll create better fruit production and ease of harvesting, that's fine. But as far as the health of the tree, you don't need to prune at all. And on landscape trees, you for sure don't. And on landscape trees also, if you have low limbs all the way to the ground, the first year, leaving them on the tree is a good thing to do because it helps build tensile strength of the trunk, just like allowing it to move with the wind some, and also the diameter of the trunk will be far bigger, quicker, and that's healthy if you leave, it's called messy or trashy trunk. Leave those on there for one season, two seasons. Sometimes people do it even longer. If the tree didn't want those limbs, they wouldn't be there. If you've got damaged limbs, limbs crossing and rubbing, you know, typical reasons to prune, that's fine. But this thought that you have to prune out some of the top of the tree to compensate for root loss is nonsense. It does not have to be done and should not be done. The other quick thing is on giant bark aphids for the last caller, I found a mistake we've got or an omission. We don't have an entry on dirtdoctor.com for giant bark aphids. But there is a real good photograph that I took. If you do a search for giant bark aphids, the first thing that'll come up is soft pest control. It'll be down below the ads, but the first one of our entries, it says soft pest control, and it's explaining my whole philosophy on that. And the photograph that we've used is a good close-up of the giant bark aphid, and it sounds like that's what she was dealing with. Big old aphids that really aren't much of a problem at all. Here's Gail in Sherman, Texas. Hi, Gail.
Hi. I have a climbing rose bush, and it's the buds are falling off.
Hmm. Do you know what kind of rose it is?
You know, I don't remember. I've had it about 3 years.
Has it done well before?
No, it's never been really hardy or.
Huh. Okay. Well, something wrong is going on for sure, Gail, because the roses have been blooming unbelievably beautifully this year. And the climbing roses, some of the Lady Banks roses have been spectacular, and some of the others. So we've got something going on. My first guess would be, just like I've been talking about trees, is that the plant may be too deep in the ground. A rose, a woody plant of any kind can be too deep in the ground, including roses. And so go to the base of the plant and with gloves and brushes, and you can use hard tools also, like I use the Hori knife for this kind of work. Just gently loosen the soil, blow it away with a blower or brush it away, and get down and dramatically expose that flare. I bet that's what you're going to find. I would also drench the plant and spray the foliage and the trunks and the stems and everything with the Garrett juice. That'll help set buds better than any amendment that you can possibly use.
Okay. I use it on the soil, but I haven't.
On the soil is good, but do both. Do the soil and also spray it on the plant as well.
Okay.
And I think we can get a plant, I don't know what it is. It might be a rose that's not adapted, but I bet you that you've got some kind of situation like that going on.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that very much.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Bye.
And Jim in Saginaw next up. Hey, Jim.
I do, sir.
Doing well. A
couple questions.
Okay.
My daughter's moving in with me. She's got three cats. And I've talked her into switching over to a corn-based, rice-based litter instead of clay-based.
Okay.
The question is, can that litter with the cat droppings go in the compost pile?
Well, in my opinion, it can. There are a lot of people that would argue with me about that, saying that you can spread diseases and all that kind of thing. But I've always argued back that the easiest way to get the disease from cat droppings is just handling the cat droppings no matter where you're putting it. And putting it into the compost pile, especially when you're using paper or zeolite or cornmeal like you're suggesting or some other natural material, that combination of urine and the droppings and the good quality litter going into the compost pile, I think that's the best way to manage it by far.
Good deal.
Yeah.
Now, that solves that problem for adding to my compost.
Okay.
The second question is there any broadcast herbicide for anything but Bermuda that you can think of? I used Agrilon, works great, but it's a spot thing.
Well, the Agrilon is the only product on the market that is selective. You can use it on the whole turf area. It's not just a spot treatment.
Okay, I'm going to try using it with a broadcast spreader.
Well, it's there's the rub. The product is a fantastic product, and the owner and I have talked about it quite a bit, but it does have one little flaw related to putting it out. I'm going to need to break. Jim, can you hang on with me so we can talk about this?
Oh, definitely, sir. Definitely.
Okay. Well, hang on. I'll be back in a minute. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. We're going to talk about weed control and a product called Agrilon right after this.
Gardeners, do you want to receive the best how-to videos for everything you need to know for successful food gardens and landscapes? This video course is taught with 15 chapters of instruction and includes a detailed 25-page study booklet. It's fun, easy, and covers organic gardening, landscaping, and farming. To learn more or sign up for the course, go to dirtdoctor.com. That's dirtdoctor.com, and click on the certification course banner.
Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping and delicious healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast to coast and border to border. You can learn about these top-rated books by clicking on the Howard's Books button on the top of the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. That's DirtDoctor.com.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit DirtDoctor.com.
America, we've got your back for immune health this season. It seems that everyone you know has a cold or the flu. Many health professionals agree that probiotics are the number one natural therapy for boosting immune health at this time of the year. Why are probiotics so good? Because 70% of your body's immune cells reside in the GI tract. By taking a superior probiotic daily like Dr. O'Hara's probiotics, you can enhance your overall immune system. Since its origin over 30 years ago, Dr. O'Hara's probiotics has prided itself on purity in creating the certified vegetarian probiotic supplement, free of gluten, allergens, and GMOs. Natural healthy fruits and vegetables are fermented for 3 years with 12 probiotic strains to create Dr. O'Hara's trademark postbiotic metabolite blend. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference for yourself this cold and flu season. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Amazon.com, as well as Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and natural health retailers everywhere. Get them today.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to DirtDoctor.com.
Okie doke, Howard Garrett back with you, and we're talking with Jim about weed control. Jim, it sounded like you've used the product before, this AgriLawn product.
Yes, sir. In fact, I've got a little duster that I use because I'm peristroke and I can't bend down. And I spray it, the wet things down and dust it. Works like a charm on crabgrass and broadleaves.
Right. It's remarkable. But the one fault that it has, and I've talked to the owner about this, and when you buy it and it's in a container, it's got holes in the top of that cap, and the holes are too big. And if you put it out and it's kind of clumpy and not a real fine covering.
I got a 40-pound bag of it.
Well, that's the other way you can buy it. And then you have to either use something like I use, which is called a Dustin Miser, or use a big old turkey baster or some type of a puffer like that, because for it to work like it really will work, it has to be dusted out real finely. If you put it out with a spreader like you suggested you might do, or some other shaker where it puts it out too clumpy and heavily, it doesn't work very well.
Okay, this is not a drop spreader. This is one of the ones that's got a circular fan in it.
Yeah,
and
I know what you mean, but that stuff on a circular spreader, unless you just barely open the drop on the bottom of it, it's going to put it out too heavily. And you're going to waste money, and it's going to go out all real fast in one area, and you're not going to get good control. So I would recommend that you look at a product called the Dustin Miser. It's not perfect, but it's one of the better ones on the market, or some other kind of a puffing device. You see what I mean? A turkey baster actually works pretty well, but it's small. You have to keep reloading it, you know, for it to work. But be careful. If you try the broadcast spreader, I'm just afraid you're going to put it out too heavily.
Okay. So, as I said, it works like a charm, but the problem is that in this spring, the last year, I had a big Bradford pear that killed everything.
Touché.
Set it down, replace it with a couple of filberts, which haven't leaked out. Everything in my yard's leaked out, but the filberts haven't leaked out yet.
Well, I probably would. It's a pretty tough plant. I like it. I used to have one of those crooked ones, and it was really good, and it got crowded out by a lot of other plants, and I haven't replaced it yet, but I like the filbert. I think it's good. Well, try your spreader if you want to, but give us a report back if you come up with some other technique. What I was going to tell you is that the owner and I, neither one, have come up with a perfect puffer and applicator for that product yet.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it because it's a great product.
Oh, yeah, it's terrific. If you get it broadcast evenly like that, it will knock out just about any broadleaf weed and the crabgrass and a lot of other things. It didn't work very well on rescue grass that I experimented with a little bit, you know, a cool season.
That's definitely today. It worked like a damn today.
Yeah. Well, anyway, give us a report back about what you see, and we'll keep trying to figure out a perfect way to do it.
Yes, sir, I will.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you very much.
Telephone number is 866-444-3478. Bed preparation. The bed preparation is, I guess, one of the most important subjects, too. Second to tree planting, I think. And for some people, it'd be number one. It'd be more important than trees because they don't want trees. They want to grow vegetables and herbs and things like that, and they need full sun. Probably ought to say before I forget it too that if you have a semi-shaded area or only shady places, there are still some vegetables and herbs that can be grown, but you're just limited a whole lot. One of the best, and it often surprises people, is that peppers will grow in the shade. Peppers, hot peppers, the shishito that we give away as a bonus situation when you donate money to Torque will grow in the shade and does very well, and a lot of other peppers, whether they're hot or bell peppers or what. Probably the thing they like the best is to get morning sun and afternoon shade, or be in an area where they have some shade cloth over them. It's been totally given by other books and other advisors and everything for years that peppers need full blazing hot sun, but the truth is you really get better production if you have a little shady protection from them as well. So anyway, bed preparation that I recommend is not anything that has a cutesy name, and I don't mind those other kinds of approaches and techniques. Square foot gardening, lasagna gardening, Hugo culture, or however you pronounce that word. That's where you bury the big chunks of wood and logs and things. All of those techniques work, and especially if you stay away from the synthetic fertilizers and the toxic chemicals, they work fine. But the technique that we recommend is easier to do. It gets you to production quicker, the very first growing season, and I think is a better, more cost-effective way to go. What is it? Well, it's to put onto the existing soil. I consider the existing native soil on your property to be an important part of the bed preparation. A lot of people tell you to dig it out and haul it off and bring in all new mixes, like a potting soil kind of thing, create a raised bed and go that route. That's fine. It just doesn't work as well as if you take the existing soil, no matter whether it's sand or clay or loam or something else. Solid rock won't work. You have to bring in new stuff if you've got solid rock. That is one exception. But no matter what color your soil is, what the chemistry is, or anything else, it's the same technique. You put the organic amendments on top of the native soil, and you till the amendments into the native soil, making the native soil a part of the blend of this 8 to 10 inches of, the part that we don't need to till 3 feet in the ground. We want to till 8 to 10 inches or so of the amendments into the native soil. What are the amendments? Very simple. Compost, rock minerals, and sugar. Compost, obvious. Compost and organic fertilizers I put in that same category. The rock minerals are lava sand, azomite, zeolite, granite sand, anything that's different from the base rock on your property, in other words. But I think volcanic soils like lava sand, like basalt, if you can get that, if you aren't in volcanic soils, if you're not listening to me in Hawaii or some the base of Mount St. Helens or someplace where there's already plenty of volcanic material in the soil, I think that the volcanic rock sand is as important as the compost and organic fertilizers. It's kind of the yin and the yang of the system that we recommend. And then the sugars are the kind of the icing on the cake to really kick everything in the pants and push everything the direction you want it to go quickly, stimulating biological activity. And in the sugar category, the two main ones that I use are dry molasses and cornmeal. Cornmeal is in the sugar category because it converts to cornmeal very efficiently, very quickly, and moves everything the direction you want it to go, building the life in the soil. And the side benefit is that it is antifungal. It helps you with disease control. It functions as a preventative against things like early blight in tomatoes and curly top. Yeah, it helps indirectly with bacteria and viruses, but it will knock fungus problems completely out of the equation. You put it out at 20 pounds per 1,000 square feet, the dry molasses at 20 pounds per 1,000 square feet, the rock minerals go out at 80 to 100 pounds per square foot, per 1,000 square feet, or higher if the budget allows. Compost goes out anywhere from 2 inches to 5 inches thick. The more the sensitive the plants are, you're trying to grow perennials, blueberries, whatever, the more compost you would use. But it's the same bed preparation for any crop. The easy to grow things, you don't need as much of all of that, but you still use the same materials, just not as much volume. Any questions about it? We can talk. And speaking of talk, let me see who's been the longest here. Here's George in Irving, Texas. Hey, George.
Good morning, Howard.
What's up?
I have two questions. One is, I have Dallas grass in my backyard. Mm-hmm. I would like to know, number one, how did it get there in the first place? Number two, how do I get rid of it?
Dallas grass is opportunistic, just like any kind of a weed. The unusual thing, George, about Dallas grass is that it's not a low successional grass like grass burrs and crabgrass, and so it's not as easy to get rid of. It's actually a good grazing grass for pastures and all. That doesn't help you in your yard. I understand that, but it's good for people to understand that it's actually a pretty high quality grass. And it has a big, deep root system and crown, and that's why it's so difficult to get rid of. Chopping it out, if you can get ahead of it, and throwing compost into the areas is the best way to do it. Now, I realize that that can't function if you got a ton of it all over the place. And you have to, in that case, use burning and killing organic herbicides like vinegar, straight vinegar, 20% vinegar with a little orange oil added for even better results, or one of the fatty acid products like the EcoSafe product, and burn, spray and spray 2-3 times and kill out those spots, and then put your compost in and get your turf grass spreading across. The corn gluten meal used in the early spring will help you with that weed, but not the existing clumps with the seed that might be germinating to bring on more grass. The clumps are perennial. They're coming back from last year's clump of grass. So that's why you've got to dig it out or spray kill with the vinegar, fatty acid products like EcoSafe. And then just compost and organic fertilizers, building the health of the soil, getting the turf grasses to outcompete the Dallas grass is the long-term solution.
Okay, well.
Let me put you on hold if you had something else. Got to run. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I'll be back with you right after this. Does your garden have planting insurance? It can now with Biotone Starter Plus from Espoma. It's the ultimate starter plant food. The secret's a special blend of natural organic plant food, beneficial microbes, and that includes mycorrhizal fungi. The result? Plants grow faster, roots grow deeper, and flowers and vegetables flourish. Best of all, every Espoma product is safe for people, pets, and the planet. Visit Espoma.com for a retailer near you. Biotone Starter Plus from Espoma, a natural in the garden since 1929.
What if you could be younger and stronger for longer? Many experts agree that regenerative medicine and stem cell therapy is the future of medicine and even your personal health and longevity. So if you or someone you know is suffering from chronic pain or dealing with other health challenges, then stem cell therapy just may be the solution. It's simple, safe, natural, effective, and affordable. So before you operate, before you medicate, now you can regenerate.
I shattered my elbow, was experiencing chronic pain. Nothing seemed to help. I said yes to stem cell therapy, and now I'm pain-free. Range of motion improved, and I'm able to do things I never could have imagined. I have my life back.
To see how stem cell therapy can benefit you, call now for a complimentary consultation, a $200 value. Call 800-705-6006. That's 800-705-6006.
Farms and greenhouses throughout America rely on BioSafe systems for healthier plants and better yields. You too can enjoy longer blooms and better results in your own backyard and garden with BioSafe weed control, disease control, and plant food. BioSafe Systems believes products should be effective and safe for use around pets, children, and wildlife. Our products are certified organic, so you can feel good about using them in your own backyard. Visit us online today at www.biosafe.net to learn more. BioSafe Systems, simply sustainable, always effective.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: Children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
The Medina Corporation, led by the Stuart Franke family, has been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building products for a long time. Medina produces quality liquid and dry fertilizers and many soil amendments. Medina Soil Activator stimulates the soil biology and plant roots. And all the Medina products help all season long, whether it's landscaping, grasses, trees, herbs, or vegetables. The Medina products help you spend your money wisely, increasing production while improving the environment. All Medina products are free of toxic chemicals, including the commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus. For the proper care of your lawn and gardens, Medina is the choice. Conveniently available at many hardware, nursery, and feed stores, Medina Natural Organic Products are a Dirt Doctor recommendation. 50 years young and still environmentally friendly, it's MedinaAg.com.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
Let's go next to Granbury, Texas, and talk to Kay. Hello, Kay.
Thank you. I need to move some Nandinas, and I know it's the wrong time, but they have to be moved. They are in a bunch, and I mean it is thick, about a 4-foot diameter, and I'm sure those roots are going to just be intertwined, and I can got to move them about 20 feet, so go from point A to point B quickly. Okay.
All right. Well, you already know it's not the ideal time because you've got that new tender growth that's all over them. This is one kind of rare time where I would say it's probably going to be beneficial, Kay, to cut some of the top off.
Okay.
Some of that new, very tender growth, because I think if you leave it on there, I think it's going to wilt and stress the plant more than if it's not there. If it's not there and just the base of the plant's left, I'd say maybe cut off a third of the top, you know, all the soft new growth.
Okay.
And then dig it out with sharpshooter shovels, probably be what I would use. You'll find that the root system of Nandina is yellow and massive. It's going to be just really dense and thick.
Okay.
And just, you know, cut it out in clumps, move it to the new location as quickly as you can that you have ready for it, prepared with, you know, the amendments. With Nandina, you don't have to use a lot of volume of those amendments, but use them all.
Okay.
Just, you don't need to do as much because it's such a tough plant. And plant them, water in, you know, settle the soil with water just like you would a tree, and then add some Garrett juice. And the best of the Garrett juice formulas in this case would be a commercial version that is the Garrett Juice Pro, because it contains the mycorrhizal fungus and beneficial bacteria.
Okay. Now, at one time I remember you said to bare root, to move something that you soak it for a long time.
Not doing it now.
Okay.
What we want to do this time is get the clumps out of the ground. If there's any soil left on them at all, leave it there and move them to the new place. The bare rooting technique would be fine if we were doing it in the fall or the winter, but doing it after the new growth has already emerged, I think we're going to have a problem.
Okay, now, if I move some others at another time, then how long do I soak those if I bare root them? Because there are lots on my property, but these have to be moved now.
Well, the answer is just long enough to get them hydrated. If you leave them in the water for 20 or 30 minutes, in most cases that's good. On a tree where you pull it out of a hard container and it's all root-bound, wound around in a knot, you know, and it's real solid, I'd recommend soaking those for about an hour or more because it's going to take that long for it to soak into the roots and hydrate those roots enough to where they're flexible enough for you to unwind them, you know, and pull them out for a while. But just a normal plant that you're moving, I just think in the ground, in the water long enough to get them nice and wet, 20 minutes tops.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Okay, good luck with your project. Let me know. Do a little before and after so I can see how well we did here.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. Let's see who's next. Roderick, is that correct, in Fairfield, Texas?
That's me.
What's going on?
Well, I had an idea about the AgriLawn stuff.
All right.
I was at, how about spreading the AgriLawn thing, the spreader for it? When I was a boy in Fort Worth, people would put that dust and sulfur on their lawns to keep the chiggers out.
Right.
And what lots of them used, they just built a little oblong box out of wood, and on the bottom of it, they'd either put some cheesecloth or gauze or screen wire, and then you'd cut some round wooden wheels out and nail them to the ends of it, but you'd nail them in off-center so that they'd jiggle back and forth.
Hmm.
And then you just put a stick on it so that you can push it around. You push it across the lawn, and as it goes along, those off-center wheels jiggle back and forth and shake the sulfur or the powder out onto the lawn.
That's an interesting idea, Roderick. I like it. You'd have to use something pretty fine, you know, almost like a cheesecloth or something,
yeah,
though.
That's what some of them were for the dusting sulfur. They used cheesecloth on them.
Why couldn't you just do a box and put that on the back, on the bottom, and walk around and just hold it in your hand and shake it?
You could do that, but these were lazy people, and they wanted it down low so it wouldn't blow away, you know?
Okay.
If it's windy, this way you could just push it across the lawn and just like you're running a lawnmower.
That's a terrific idea. I may try to do a little prototype of that myself. You don't happen to have one, do you?
No, this was back in the 1950s. I think people kind of stopped doing that, but I used to, you know, they didn't have any commercial spreaders around, and people just made their own, and that was what they did to put that sulfur down. A regular spreader won't do that, dust and sulfur.
I think it's a good idea. What about doing an even simpler version of it, putting it in a bag made of cheesecloth and walk around and shake the bag?
That'd probably do, too.
Okay. All righty. Well, if you have time, do a prototype, and I'll try to get one done, too. Maybe we can come up with a good solution for the owner of the company.
Yeah, might work out.
By the way, he has offered a monetary prize for anybody coming up with a good solution.
Yep.
He was talking about paying somebody $300 or $400 if they came up with something that really worked, so it might be worth your effort.
Yeah, well, we'll think about it then.
All right, thanks.
Enjoy the show.
Thank you very much. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. And if you jump on here quick, you can get in at 866-444-3478. I still have some things from In Howard's Garden we need to work in, which we will do, and talk about whatever you'd like to discuss as well. Our website's dirtdoctor.com. The newsletter's free. Sign up right there on the website. And learning about our online course is also right there on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. I'll talk to you later.